or something. And I sort of wanted to wind it up quicker, but there is so much in it and so many important things. So bear with me as we continue through the book of Revelation. And we're up to the trumpets today. But something that I haven't mentioned before is about the Great Tribulation, which is a season, a time period that will happen when all hell will break loose, as you might want to say. There'll be a time of hardship and famine and persecution and war, disasters, pain, suffering, all those things. But we will see God's judgment poured out, but we will also see God's mercy. God's mercy will be there as well. And I personally believe that Christians, those who are born again, people that are in the church, that we are going to be caught up or raptured up to heaven. Amen. That Jesus, he is coming back. Okay, now that's my personal belief. Others believe that he's coming midway through the tribulation, others at the end. You know, there are different opinions, but I personally think that we will be raptured or caught up with him because he is coming back, and we will be with him, and we won't, as Christians, have to go through the Great Tribulation, is what we're talking about today. So you think, well, why are we reading this? Why are we bothering? Well, I want to tell you a couple of things today that I think are really important. So we know that he's coming for his church, and I just want to confirm that as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at 15. Well, we tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. There's one of the trumpets. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves, and then together with them, we, that's us, who are still alive at that time and remain on the earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and then we will be with the Lord forever. And it says at the end, which I didn't give Sue that one, so encourage each other with these words. So he is coming. We don't know when. We just need to be ready. So again, as I said, there's people that will have a different opinion on when he's coming. And I think Revelation is the book where there are so many different opinions. But I'm bringing today the word that I believe God has put on my heart today. Okay, so, I mean, and there isn't even a scripture that will say specifically. You know, people say, well, where's that? Well, it's not specifically said, and I don't think God wants us. There are some things he doesn't want us to tell us or want us to know. But to be ready is the main thing. Okay, so we're just warned to live righteously and be ready for that day whenever it is. And we know that by the seasons and the times that are happening at the moment, that it might not be that far away. We don't know. So let's start with Revelation 1, which I want to just confirm. It says that God blesses the one who reads this word of prophecy to the church. And he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. So this revelation message is meant to be read. It is meant to be read aloud in the company of believers and to the whole world. So it's not just about being read, it's about being heard as well. So I hope that you have your listening ears on today. And as I said, we will see the judgment and the wrath of God poured out today, but we will see his mercy, okay? Last week we talked about the wrath of God and how the grace went with the wrath of God. And today, with the judgment, we're going to see that mercy is there too. So we've had the seven seals that have been opened. We've got the seven angels with the seven trumpets, and they're going to sound as the judgment of God comes out on the sin of the world. So let's have a look here. God created this world. I want you to remember that. God, it's God's world. It's his world. And, you know, I often think when we stand up and listening to at events, you know, welcome to certain people and things, I'm like, this is God's world. Welcome to God in his word. It's his earth. This planet is his. It's his. And of course, the world is changing, isn't it? But it was designed that it would work God's way. And we can try and make it work our way, which we've all done, but it was created to work for God and His ways. And it was created for His glory. Everything He made in it, He made for His glory and for our good. And He has the right to judge what goes on in this world. You know, as soon as He put man on the earth, we messed it up. And in Genesis, we know that Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God, and with that came their judgment. But it also came with mercy because God clothed them with animal skins when they were naked. But His judgment also came on them because they were banished then from the garden. So mercy and judgment, we find them together, just as we did with the wrath and the grace. So we're seeing now that the seven angels are beginning to blow their seven trumpets. And as they do, the end times again are beginning to unfold. And the consequence of a fallen, sinful world is now coming due. So the breaking of the seven seals ushers in these trumpet judgments. And up to this moment, John has been hearing all these sounds. Remember, this is John, his vision that God has given him. And he's describing it to us. And quite often you hear him say, it was like this or it looked like that. So, you know, we're just getting his idea of what he saw. When we see these things, they might be slightly different. But he gives us this impression of what things are like. And I just want to start to recap about the prayer. In Revelation 8:1, we see here, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Trumpets were used many times in the Old Testament to rally the troops or to make a point or something. But in this case, each trumpet that sounds brings a new judgment. And verse 3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. This is not one of the seven, but another angel. And he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints, that's our prayers, up on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So remember, this is a picture of prayer. This is the reason why they were to keep the incense burning in the presence of God, because it was a picture of the prayers rising up from the saints. Verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake. So the first thing that happens is that the prayer of the saints are brought before God. Now they're mingled with fire, and now they're cast upon the earth. This is prayer in action. And what is happening prior to these judgments that are being brought forth with the blowing of the trumpets is the response of God from the prayers of God's people throughout the ages, who have been crying out to Him for justice and for mercy. And in the Old Testament, David was one of those who often prayed that God would bring justice on the situations that he was going through. And so all these prayers, they were kept in heaven to be fulfilled at a specific time, and our prayers are in heaven for a specific time. And this was that time, and now these prayers are cast down upon the earth. Verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, in my opinion, I think we're already into the Great Tribulation by now, okay? This is what I've gathered from all that I've been studying and reading, about midway point, right? So that's where I think, but you, if you think differently, that's okay. So before the blowing of the seven trumpets and the judgments that go along with them, we will see that God brings forth various plagues upon the enemies of the Lord. And you will notice that in each one of these judgments, they are cast down upon the earth and the people of the earth. But they're only partial plagues, okay? They don't affect everybody. And this is an important distinction. We'll get into that shortly. It's got a bit of a... Okay, so this is not a total destruction or a total judgment. It means that they're going to be carried out with a desire on God's part of producing repentance in people. So these partial judgments, that's his plan, is to get people to see what's going on, that they would turn and repent. And this is his mercy behind these partial judgments, because he didn't have to do that. He could just bring complete judgment and wipe everybody out if he wanted to. But the purpose is to get people's attention, that they might respond to these things with an attitude of repentance. So, verse 7, here's the first angel. So the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. So only a third means that two-thirds was not. These first judgments were directed upon the earth, and this would affect mankind, and the fact that it was mixed with blood probably speaks of loss of life. But you can see from this that this thing that's come upon the earth, that food would undoubtedly become precious and scarce, and the cost of food would skyrocket, because this would affect a third of the land. Verse 8, and then the second angel sounded, and something like, here's that word like, something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And again, we hear that like from John. We don't really know what it looked like, but we do know that the sea creatures, a third of them, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So this is the ocean, this is the sea. Verse 10. There's a fair bit of scripture here, but you have to read it because this is where we get our ideas. Yeah. So the third angel in verse 10 sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. So it was affecting the sea before, but now it's affecting the rivers and the fresh water. This wormwood is a bitter-tasting herb. So it was just turning all the water bitter. Now it's getting a little more desperate because this is people's drinking water. But again, it was limited to a third. Verse 12. And then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So this ushered in the plagues upon the heavens that actually result in darkness upon the earth. Something about the day and the night circle was disrupted now, and so we could imagine that darkness and the earth would not know what it was doing. The light of the sun was kept from shining somehow, and the light of the moon was reduced because it gets its light from the sun. We read that also in Matthew 24, don't we? It talks about that too, because everything correlates. And it would be so. So imagining what the darkening of the sun would do to the environment and the temperature of the earth. So all these things are going to come upon the earth. And then next, John hears a message of warning in verse 13. And I looked, and I heard an angel. And angel in this version, all the other versions say eagle. And I looked about it, and it's actually an eagle, which represents, I wrote this down, represents destruction and swiftness. Okay? So it says angel in this version, but I think it's an eagle. So I looked, and I heard an eagle flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound." So the next trumpet blasts are considered to be very bad, because they will affect mankind in more specifically ways of probably death. And these next judgments appear to have, I believe, a spiritual element. And what we're going to see is all hell breaking loose, basically. That will be what happens when these final three trumpets are sounded. And we'll look at that in the next chapter, chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, And I saw a star from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key at the bottomless pit. So it has to be a being because it's saying him. So a falling star, and to him was given the key. This indicates that it was actually a being here. And he opened, verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then, verse 3, out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. I'll explain that in a sec. So they were told not to harm those people who have the seal of God. So this would relate to any unbeliever, but not to those who have this seal on their foreheads, which included the 144,000. In Revelation 7:4, which I don't have, it tells us that I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. Now, I looked up a bit further into that. Revelation says that the redeemed bear a seal on their forehead. We're not talking about the mark of the beast here. This seal consists of the names of God and the Lamb of God and shows that the redeemed belong to God. In Revelation 14, it's 14:1, it says that. This seal is presumably not a visible one, but a way of indicating that these people found their identity in their relationship with God and Christ. And another thing I found said, the seal was to be placed in the forehead, which is a mark which angels, but not human eyes, can read. For the destroying angel must see this mark of redemption. You see, they were protected. God protected them by this seal, whether it was visible or not. Angels, the destroying angels, saw this and they were not to touch them. And so it's quite amazing, isn't it? So these 144,000, and I think it also refers to some saints because they went out and evangelised on the earth and many people were brought to salvation at that time as well. But they were not harmed. So these people were protected through the great time of persecution. And whatever happened, they would not fall away. God knew that. They would not fall away from him. And they remained true to him until the end. So verse 5. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. These are the people that were not sealed by God, all right? But not to kill them. So they were tormented. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, but death will flee from them. You see, God is in charge of the end of our lives, isn't he? And I've heard many people, when they're in a terrible situation, say, I just want to die. And I think, well, you don't really, because you don't know what awaits you if you're not born again and walking with the Lord. And these people were like, I just want to die, because they thought that it would all go away, but it would not have. So God has charge of the end of our life, and he can prolong it if he wants to, and he will during that great time of tribulation. And I don't think these locusts were anything like we could even imagine or we've seen, but they are going to be given power to torment the people of the earth who have not been sealed by God. Verse 7. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months, which showed that God actually had authority over them. It was 5 months, and that we don't understand all that, but that's what it was. But I believe that there is a spiritual aspect to that because of what he says next in verse 11. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. And these names mean destruction and destroyer. And I believe we're talking about Satan here because he is in charge over them. John is describing to us a spiritual demonic horde that is leashed upon the earth, and it's nothing like we've ever seen. And the description that John gives us is just quite unbelievable, really, when you think about it. But this is going to be when all hell breaks loose. And this is when these demonic beings, they'd been locked up, actually, but now they're going to be released on the earth at this time through the Great Tribulation. And they're going to torment those upon the earth who are not sealed with the seal of God. And in verse 12, John writes this: one woe is past, but behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. So it's still going to get worse. Verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So at the blowing of the fourth trumpet, there is a release of these four angels, and we have to assume that they're evil angels, and because remember, demons are just angels who have fallen. So this is a demonic horde. Verse 15. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus, verse 17, I saw the horses in the vision who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue and sulphur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke and brimstone. And verse 18, by these three plagues a third of mankind were killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. Now I'm assuming that this third that was killed was a third of what was left after all the other judgments had taken place. But remember, this is all future things to happen. And we can look at all these descriptions, but I believe this is a spiritual description of a demonic horde. And, you know, demons never look nice, do they? Verse 20. But the rest of mankind, listen to this, this just amazes me. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. They didn't. After seeing all this, they still did not repent. And what's interesting is that God brought these partial judgments. And as difficult as they had been, he had the hope that people would repent, that they would come to him. And in reading this, it's wakes us up to the fact that we need to know where we're going. We need to know our relationship with Christ is solid, and that we have that with him. It makes us want to go out and encourage our families more, to me, because of what's ahead for those. And the book of Revelation it's about getting people's attention upon the earth at this time of the people who are left. And God is going to bend over backwards to give them an opportunity to be saved. So this book is not just about wrath. It's about mercy. It's about God's mercy. And the Bible tells us that God doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wishes that we would all come to him to repent. But notice that the seventh trumpet has not been sounded. that happens later. It says here in chapter 10, which I didn't put up there, when the trumpet sounds, God's mysterious plan will be revealed. So the last trumpet's going to be pretty bad. And sometimes in order for someone to come to that place of repentance, they have to come to a crisis point. I don't know if that happened to you, but that's certainly true of me. That's what brought me to the Lord. I mean, even though I'd grown up in a Christian home, traumas, situations brought me to Christ, back to Christ. And I bet all of you could say the same thing, that you had really rough time in your life at some point and God got your attention and you came to know Jesus. And God uses those times in life to get our attention. And I know when our kids are going through things, we worry and we take that burden on. I've done it myself. I still do sometimes. And you take that on. But sometimes those situations are the very things that would turn their life toward God. And that's what we need to be there for in those times, to reassure them that God loves them and that He can bring them back to a good life and to sort out the things that have been going on. Because we've all made messes of our life in the past, but God is pretty good at putting things back together. And although those times have been painful in our life, it was a sign of God's mercy. And I've heard people say that have been doing the wrong thing, and like, I think it was one of those American preachers who ended up in jail for all that he did in the church. And he said it was God's mercy because he got caught and he was able to repent. If he hadn't have and he'd have died, well, might have been a different story. God's the judge. He knows what he knows all. But sometimes those things are good when we're caught out or when we're going through those times. That's when God's mercy works best. When we come to that place of just knowing, and when we think we're drowning and we put our foot upon a rock, and to stand on, because He's a sure foundation. And I know He's lifted me up and saved me out of His great mercy. So let's pray as we finish today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that even in these chapters today where it speaks of the outpouring of Your wrath and Your judgment, we see clearly the expression of Your mercy, calling all mankind to repentance, calling man to bow our knees and to give up the things that the world thinks is important and to open our lives to You and Your goodness. And I thank You, Lord, that You loved us enough to draw us to You and to save us through the sacrifice and the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, for Your amazing goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.